I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Well, it's Wednesday night, Audrey. It means one thing. Tech Vibrato is upon us.
Oh, yes.
But you know what? It doesn't have to be Wednesday nights.
No, you can listen to us.
I know.
On anything.
Anything. Anytime. Anywhere. As long as you've got some sort of device in order to access any of your favorite podcast platforms. You can go over there and download us and look at we've got this catalog of great stories that we've been telling. We've been doing this for 13 years now, right?
12.
I'm saying 13. We're on our 13th year, right? And I got to make it sound more important. But we actually, we had all of our stuff going way back to the early days, but we had a incident happen with a service provider where we lost a lot.
A technology service
going awry where we lost a lot of our early data.
I can't hear it. I don't want to talk about it.
But all I'm saying is our library has been built back up. And one of the coolest things, Audrey, we've been adding to our library has been the Healthcare Reinvented series that we've been doing with Highmark.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. It's too much fun.
So much fun.
I can't wait to get more of these started for 2020. We had our first four we put in to production back in 2019, and now that we're into 2020, we've got another three or four that we're going to be ripping out,
it is so enlightening. I realize neither of us are medical practitioners,
right.
But having a chance to be up front with these docs and their specialists and talk about
fun stuff.
Not just what they're working on, but like how they view life, what it means to be here in Pittsburgh,
right.
What it means to work in the Allegheny Health Network, what the patients are like, what are some of the proactive things that they're doing and seeing.
And how they're using technology.
And how they're using technology and how they are really working heads down. I mean, these are, when you think about our region, most cities say most jobs are in healthcare.
So many in Pittsburgh. Everywhere, I guess, because we all got to stay healthy. So
when you think about what they're seeing and what they're doing, it's just been eye-opening. And getting a chance to meet these docs, I love them.
We've been having a good time
We've been having such a good time. That you can download. I look forward to 2020 and having more conversations.
Well, tonight we're actually going to play our last Tech Vibe segment with Dr. Munil Shah and Dr. Malouk, two really cool guys that are working out of cardiac care, which is just so much fun. These guys are just such nice gentlemen, and just what they're doing to save people's lives, keep people healthy. Literally saving people from strokes and from heart attacks and some of the technologies behind it. To us, I just thought it was so much fun. Like, we're pulling this one out of the archive and we're going to play it again tonight just because
it was a lot
of fun. Yeah,
well, it's Heart Month.
And because it's Heart Month as well, which I think is really cool.
That's really important. So there's just, listen, it started with Dr. Starzl here.
I know.
I mean, how many years ago was that? 40?
Probably more than that. Probably 50.
50 years ago?
Because time's marching on.
Is marching on.
It's 2020, and 50 years would have been 1970, close to when I was born. I'm like, oh, boy. Yeah. I think he was doing stuff before I was born. So.
Not that much.
Yeah, it's like,
before. Okay. Well, there you have it. So we're passionate about that.
Yeah.
And there's a common theme in all of this in terms of taking care of yourself.
Absolutely.
And what does exercise mean? But there's also a common theme that there's so many different kind of heart disorders. People are born with issues.
Right.
People are acquired things.
Right.
People get viruses. There's just
– I know. Scary stuff. But at the end of the day, you can be taken care of very well here in Pittsburgh with the latest technology.
Really.
And for us to tell some of those stories through the Healthcare Reinvented series is really cool. So if you just go to iTunes – just search for Healthcare Reinvented, search for Tech Vibe. All those stories are there. But tonight we're going to play one just so you can get a little taste of it. And I think it's a lot of fun to do that. And also on tonight's show, Audrey, the Hardware Cup is back in action again.
Yeah.
Which is – I can't believe this is – I think it's fourth or fifth
fourth.
Year now.
Fourth
year now. And I'm just like it's really starting to catch. Like it's gone international.
Or maybe it's their sixth year.
It could be. It's been
right. I think it might be their sixth year.
We'll have to clarify with Leah Simoncelli when she stops by later
in
the show.
I feel like they have been a great marketing arm for us.
Definitely, definitely.
For the region, for telling what's happening here in Pittsburgh, getting a chance to bring people back mm-hmm. to Pittsburgh. So it'll be interesting to see what she's finding
yeah.
out and what she's discovering.
And I think what they're doing with this event, where basically they're awarding cash prizes and investments to companies that are building product-type companies. And you'll see these product companies arrange everything from clothing companies to robotics companies and everything kind of in between. So it's very broad. But it shows that Pittsburgh is a destination where you can come here and build something and have resources to help you build something. If you want to come here to build something, you can go to like Alpha Lab Gear and apply and be part of their program. And they're going to help you get that product company off the ground. Like, that's good stuff.
Sure,
I like
right.
that. So I tip my hat to what they're doing there with Alpha Lab Gear in order to make that stuff happen, which I think is just a lot of fun and good stuff for Pittsburgh.
A lot of good stuff for Pittsburgh.
For sure, all the way around. So that, healthcare reinvented, it's good stuff all the way around. And I look at the fact that, like, it is now February, deep into February, and the next thing coming up is our CIO of the Year Awards. I always like to plug that a little bit because it is like the second biggest event that the Tech Council does.
Right.
And I tell people, check it out, be a part of it, because it's 600 people, it sells out, and it's a celebration of some of the hard work that some women and men are doing within Information Officer and Chief Information Security Officers as well, too, which I think is a big deal.
Yeah, it's a big year. It's a big year. Thinking about 2020, how have you signed your digits on 2020?
My digits on 20.
Do you write 2020 all the way out?
Oh, God, no.
I do.
Do you?
Because then you can, if not, you can just add digits to it.
Oh, you're right. Oh, that's smart.
So
I didn't think about 2020,
that. And then it always keeps me focused. 2020.
2020. It's reminding me I need to get my eyes checked.
How did it come up with 2020 vision, right?
I don't know. Yeah, it's what you see from 20 feet or
right.
something like that. I don't know.
I don't know. All I know is I can't believe I'm saying 2020,
2020.
Out loud.
I know.
And talking about ways to sign it. I think we're at just Pittsburgh's at once again an inflection point.
It's a big
It'll be
juncture.
Very interesting to see what our census is. When yep. it comes out this year.
I forgot. Yeah, that's ooh, yeah, that's
a big
actually
big
I,
deal for us.
I think that might be something where we get a little
yeah,
reckoning.
Right.
I think that we maybe have some bigger issues than we thought, and that we really need to be paying attention to how we make Pittsburgh a destination to
right.
get more people into the city to right. build companies, and as you say, not be a an armchair critique,
yeah.
because we don't need those types of folks. We need people to come here and to build stuff, for crying out loud. So, but anyhow, that's why I love doing the show, Audrey, because we're bringing on the people that are actually building the cool companies. And like I said, we have this archive which got truncated a little bit, but we won't talk about that.
Yeah, please
but,
don't.
But if you keep going back to our podcast page on iTunes or Google Play or Spotify, wherever you want to get it, you'll see, man, there's some great stories happening here in Pittsburgh. It gets me all fired up. And the one thing I got to talk about before we take break is coming very soon to the airport is our new Pittsburgh tech video, which I'm really excited
so
about.
Oh, so exciting.
Oh, Audrey, you haven't even seen the first cut yet, and all I'm saying is this. Oh, my God. Like, I'm not kidding. I was watching the first cut of it, like, and I'm not like an emotional dude at all.
Oh,
well, I am an emotional
yes,
dude,
are.
But I try to say that I'm not an emotional dude. But I was just feeling so proud for some
Aww.
Of these companies and the folks that are building some of these solutions. I mean, in this video, you see everything from a robotics company to a life sciences company and everything in between.
That's the kind of guy Jonathan
yeah.
Kirsting is.
I got
He's
a little.
He's got pride.
I got a little verklempt. How about
for
that?
Clemp.
See?
Oh,
uh-huh.
I love that.
I got a little verklempt, and I was like, man, this is why I love Pittsburgh so much, because we have some companies that are impacting people's lives. So beginning in probably March or April, we will have this new video out that really showcases the best and brightest as to what is happening in Pittsburgh's tech sector, being played at the airport in Concourse B. It'll also be on our website and on YouTube and other locales. But I'm just getting really pumped at the first results. Working with PMI on this, a great partner of ours to help us put this video together. So at the end of the day, great stuff. And, you know, what can I say? I like it. So, anyway, we're taking a break, Audrey. We got some tech vibe coming in front of us. I'll stop talking.
Don't go away. We're coming right back.
This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey.
Learn more about the Tech Council at pghtech.org. So, I tell you what, Audrey, as you know, we've been exploring the insides and the outsides of some of the great, cool work happening at Highmark and Allegheny Health Network through our Reinventing Healthcare podcast series. And I've been having just way too much fun with this, because it seems like every other week we are literally hanging out with some of the most talented people, folks that are saving people's lives. They're embracing technology. And a lot of the work these folks are doing is only happening here in Pittsburgh, where it was kind of pioneered here in Pittsburgh, and now the rest of the world is kind of catching on to it. So it's been some fun storytelling.
Well, AHN is just sort of quietly being an innovator.
Exactly.
And you know what? We don't want you to be quiet anymore.
Yeah, we're trying to shout it out.
We want to shout it out so that people can really understand what kinds of things you're working on. So today we're really going to talk about the heart.
The heart, man. Let's get to the heart of the matter.
Well, I didn't say that. You said
that. I
did.
I know. I like saying the obvious sometimes, right?
I know. That's more than obvious. So we have two physicians in the house that I'd like to introduce.
And before we introduce them, remind everybody that if you want to listen to any of the healthcare, Reinventing Healthcare series, just go to iTunes, go to Google Play, wherever you get your podcast, just search for Healthcare Reinvented, and you can nerd out on this stuff because we have some longer play stuff. Our terrestrial signal doesn't give us enough time to fully explore, just to give it a little taste, if you know what I mean. So
let's introduce. Who do we have in the house?
So I'm Munil Shah. I'm a non-invasive cardiologist at Allegheny Health Network.
And I'm Satish Maluk, the chief of vascular surgery at Allegheny Health Network.
So we're going to start with the sort of imaging piece,
right.
The non-invasive imaging piece.
I like the way Dr. Shah says non-invasive. See, that makes me feel more comfortable.
So Dr. Shah, talk about, we know a little bit about this heart flow technology, but our listeners don't. So talk about that world that you work in every day and the kind of tools that you use.
So one of my focuses is on cardiovascular CT, cardiac CT, and it's a nice test where we can visualize the arteries of the heart and look for blockages, look for heart disease.
I mean, actually being able to see it, not guess or conjecture and think you might have a blockage, but we can see exactly where it is and what it's doing.
It's direct visualization,
right?
And that can be very helpful for patients to determine if their symptoms are related to that or not. The heart flow is basically when we see a blockage, sometimes blockages need to be fixed if they're significant enough, a 70-80% blockage. Sometimes if they're only 20-30%, then we can just treat with medications only. So that's difficult to tell with just using CT images. So what we have now is there's a company in California called HeartFlow, and they offer a way to do flow analysis of the CT images. And that will help give us a better idea of whether that blockage that we see on the CAT scan, whether it's significant or not.
Okay, so a referral comes from a doc to see you, right? It could be...
Typically the physician themselves, they could refer to me, or if they're comfortable, they could order the CAT scan themselves, too.
Okay.
Most commonly, it's a cardiologist, usually, or sometimes a primary care physician, ordering the CAT scan first.
Okay.
And then I would be one of the physicians who interprets them at Allegheny Health Network. And then we would decide, if I see a blockage when I'm interpreting the study, then I'll send it to California to HeartFlow for the flow analysis.
And as you were saying in our podcast interview, you actually get those results back on the same day.
Correct.
You're not waiting a couple weeks to wonder what's going on, but that same day you know really well what's happening at that point.
That's exactly right.
How much, and that's taking a lot of stress off of people just knowing at that point what's
happening,
right?
It gives them the patient the information that they need and the physician the information that they need so they know what's the next best step.
Start charting that course and get people on the right track.
And so before this, or in other places that don't have heart flow, what was the methodology?
Yeah, I mean, the traditional method of testing when you're suspecting a patient who is having heart disease or blockages is you start with a stress test, and if the stress test was abnormal, then the next step would be a heart catheterization where they feed a wire and catheters up into the heart. And then with that, then they could take pictures of the arteries themselves. However, what we found was that a lot of patients end up getting a heart cath who end up not having significant blockages.
So they've gone through all that rigmarole.
Correct.
And not necessarily having needed it. So
right.
That's why I like the idea of doing the CT scan and having the heart flow done. You can get a really good idea.
Yeah, it provides an alternative before a heart cath to say, well, let's do the CAT scan first. Maybe this patient doesn't really need a heart cath.
Right.
And we can avoid an invasive procedure.
Very cool stuff. Now, when things get kind of crazy.
Right. When things get a little bit crazy and you need to now go to the next step.
You need to see Dr. Maluk at that point.
Right. So here we have Dr. Maluk, who we've introduced a few moments ago.
Yes.
Who is now the vascular surgeon and director of AHN Division of Vascular Surgery. That we now are going to talk about something that's called TCAR.
Yes.
So,
well, what TCAR is just like you can get blockages affecting the heart, you can get blockages affecting the carotid artery, which supplies the brain. And that kind of blockage is pretty serious because it can lead to stroke. And historically, we've had pretty good methods of dealing with carotid blockage. We've done carotid endarterectomy for many years, dating back into the 1950s. That's an operation where you actually clean the plaque out of the carotid artery. As an alternative, you can do a stent that's placed from a catheterization approach from the groin, from the femoral artery. And that seems to have slightly higher stroke rates, so we didn't like it quite as much. But we didn't think there was that much room for innovation. But lately, over the last few years, TCAR has been introduced, and that's a transcervical carotid revascularization where we place a stent, but rather than coming from the femoral artery in the groin, we make a small incision in the neck and place the stent from there. And that has a lot of benefits. We don't have to traverse nearly as much mileage in the vascular system to get to the problem. So because of that, we have a lot less chance of causing a problem.
I remember in our podcast series interview, you were saying like literally it's like 5 or 6 inches to get that place as opposed to literally going several yards probably, if not more than that, to make it all the way up.
So people are healing from this quicker, I would imagine, right?
Yeah, absolutely, because compared to carotid endarterectomy, our incision is smaller. We have less chance of causing a stroke compared to the transfemoral carotid stenting because we're traversing less mileage, as you say. So it's been great. There's another real benefit to TCAR, and that's where we create retrograde flow. We actually connect the sheath in the carotid artery to the femoral vein. So we deliberately create a fistula.
Wow.
Where flow goes backward in the carotid artery for just a few minutes. Mm-hmm. But that's enough for us to do our treatment.
And lower that chance of stroke, right?
That's right. So any plaque that we loosen up by our treatment gets, rather than go up into the brain, which we don't want, it goes backward and gets trapped in a filter so that minimize the chance of stroke.
Very cool.
I knew that when we talk, and you're going to have to listen to our deep dive with these two physicians.
Like I said, there's just not enough time.
There's not enough time because the fact of you have capability to do non-invasive through the work of heart flow, new technology.
Yes.
And then you also have much more effective treatments when you want to go in and you have any of these kind of complications. So you stay less, I would imagine, in the hospital, and that your treatment and your post-op is highly beneficial. So when we think about the amount of heart disease that actually exists, not just in southwestern Pennsylvania, but across the United States, and that this innovation is happening in AHN, I don't know. I'm sort of proud.
I think it's cool.
I like that.
I think it's pretty cool.
I think it's really cool, and I really appreciate the candor of both of these physicians in terms of adopting technology and innovation, because it's not always easy to do that, particularly when you think you have something that's working
right.
well.
And you got people's lives on the line there.
And your customer are live human beings that could be in dire straits.
Yeah.
So my hat's off to AHN once again.
I agree.
And allowing us to do just a little bit of a peek into the work that you're doing and to saving lives.
That's why I've been so pumped up about the Reinventing Healthcare podcast series to have these discussions, Audrey. And it's opened my mind up so much. And I know if people listen to it, they're going to be just amazed at what's happening here in Pittsburgh with Allegheny Health Network. And so we've got a lot more of these stories to tell in the coming months, which I think is just so exciting. But we got to take a quick break and come back. So, Dr. Shaw and Malouk, thank you for hanging out
with
us tonight.
Thank you so much.
Sure.
We appreciate it
Happy
so much.
Happy to do it.
We're taking a quick break. We're coming back with a lot more Tech Vibe Radio. If you take that break, log on to the computer and download Reinventing Healthcare. It's a lot of fun to listen to. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
We're from the Pittsburgh Technology Council. You can learn more about us at pghtech.org. Welcome back. So glad you're listening to Tech Vibe Radio. This is Jonathan Kirsting with the Pittsburgh Technology Council. And we're actually recording on scene here on site at the CMO Insights event in the Rivers Club. So I love being able to take the show on the road because it just brings it. You can't always get everyone to stop in the studio. So we take the studio to the people. And we have the CMO of Poshmark, Stephen Young, hanging out with us today. And we were really excited to get this guy to stop by Pittsburgh because we think Poshmark is just a crazy cool company, just really showing what's happening in tech and marketing these days. And we get some national thought leaders out here and bring them to Pittsburgh to educate our crowd here. We think it's pretty fun. And how can I not
polish up the old mobile field unit here and grab an interview with Stephen. And so, Stephen, thanks for coming to Pittsburgh. We hope you're having a good time so far. I just want to learn all about what you're up to, what Poshmark is up to, sure. And we'll kind of just take it from there. So great. First off, give us a quick little snippet of your background. Who is Stephen?
So, one, thank you for having me. I'm excited to, one, meet people here and also learn more about just, like I said, the Pittsburgh technology sort of scene and vibe. A little bit about myself. I'm originally from New York City. I've lived there for the last 15, 17 years of my life, really formulated my whole career there. I've worked in a number of different industries, both high-tech as well as consumer marketing companies. I've often fashioned myself as, in a similar way, I know overused, I'm a unicorn in that I've worked at both big companies like American Express, DirecTV, and Puma, but I've also worked at three different tech companies, two of which have IPO'd already, from early stage all the way to mid to late stage. And what I've really found that's been incredibly passionate for me is to be able to take the things that I learned in the big companies, how to build strategy, how to work with people, how to lead, and apply those to high growth companies that really yearn for that kind of information. But also being in high growth companies that are really changing the way people are doing things. Whether it was how they built and sold websites online to how do they order food, and now how do they buy and sell fashion.
Super cool stuff. And that's why we're pumped to have you here, because you do have that really varied background. And so what was it about Poshmark that made you say, I'm going to Poshmark, I'm going to be the CMO there? So obviously I think you can pick where you want to go. So you saw something special in Poshmark. What was that?
So it's a very good question. One of the things that I was looking for when I was thinking about my next role were two things. I wanted to make sure that the customer base of whatever the product I was about to join was incredibly passionate, because I know that as a marketer, having an incredibly passionate base allows me to then build off of that. That word of mouth, that organic traction, that generic sort of brand love, once you sort of add some marketing magic, can really sort of be amplified and have an exponential value. So what I saw in the way that people talked about Poshmark and how it matters in their lives was something that really attracted me from a first start. But two, what I really loved was the business model. The fact that it's an easier way to buy and sell fashion and now home goods. And it's a way for us to also allow people to make money on the side, both as an entrepreneur, but also sometimes just make extra cash. And though even though we have a fantastic economy, we know that people are always looking for other ways to monetize their time and their assets, and Poshmark allows that. And for me, that's enabling people to be able to do the things that they really love, whether spending more time with their family or being able to actually support themselves or really fill out a passion like fashion, or different goods that they sell on the platform that are their own brands. We have a number of items that are actually native, what we call native brands, that people have designed themselves and they sell on Poshmark, which is fantastic. So we're giving different outlets for different people.
That's why I think it's so fascinating, because it's all these intersections, like you said, that are kind of coming together. I mean, first off, it's a cool tech platform to make this all happen. Secondly, it's a lifestyle thing. It's a gig economy type thing where everyone's got a side hustle. It becomes a passion thing, because many people on Poshmark, it's their passion to be in the fashion and to sell and everything. And also there's like an environmental side where people are actually reselling clothes that would maybe go into a dumpster or into a landfill, which I think. So you're hitting this on many, many marks. Yeah. So I can see why you'd be like, yeah, I think I want to go to Poshmark and make that happen. What are some key stats of Poshmark? How many people are using it, and how big is the platform?
So we have over, first of all, it's completely all over the U.S. Our customers are from every part of America, which is wonderful. Two, we have over 60 million plus registered users and over 10 to 12 million buyers and sellers. And that alone has been a fantastic platform for us to actually almost pay out close to $2 billion worth of sort of revenue to our sellers, which is fantastic. And that's over the course of the company's like 8-9 year mark. So for me, we're just at the beginning, because I think what I've seen in the other tech companies I've worked for is that sometimes the platform is what accelerates the adoption, but sometimes also secular factors in the economy. Like right now, there's a lot of thought around sustainability and making sure that whatever you buy, you're buying for purposeful and not just sort of buying X number of those versions. I think we're going to be in a very interesting stage in the next 3 to 5 years as people become even more mindful, not just of what they're buying, how they're buying it. We all love Amazon. We know that's an incredibly difficult behemoth to compete with. But I do think there are many more options that are coming through for retail that are really challenging the models that we have. And what I'm excited about is Poshmark is one of those models.
That's what makes it so cool, is the fact that everyone thinks like an Amazon has it figured out, and they're trying to do things that are kind of similar to what you would try to do. But at the end of the day, there's always someone who has an idea that can totally disrupt and upend something that is deemed to be the established thing going on out there. So I can understand why, like, you being CMO at Poshmark must be just so much fun, because at the end of the day, a CMO in an organization like this, you're the guy with the foot on the gas pedal for this place. At the end of the day, like, for you to grow, it's all about marketing, right? Yeah. It's all about building that user base, yeah. And that just allows everything to happen. So what are some of your plans to help scale and keep Poshmark on that growth trajectory?
So I can't tell you everything, otherwise probably won't have to kill you. But
no killing, please.
Yeah, jokingly aside, no, I think it's really continuing our strategy around beginning to platform out the brand even more to an even wider user base, attracting not just, you know, we've had a historically strong following with women, but two, we're beginning to grow our men's business, which will open up a whole new opportunity for us. And number three, since we launched Home in the past year, it creates another category for us to allow people to buy and sell goods. So for us, it's both increasing our user base, getting people to explore new categories, and finding new segments of the market that we haven't tapped. I think all three of those factors allow us to really have a robust platform to how to grow in the next 3 to 5 years.
Very exciting.
Oh, and by the way, one more thing I forgot about, that is we're also adding, you know, that tiny thing called international. We launched into Canada in the last year, and we have plans also to obviously add several more countries, which really is exciting to make Poshmark a global platform.
This is the time to be you right now, because obviously you're right at this precipice where things are really going to start getting big and things are going to start growing. That's like so cool, which is why everyone is so excited to hear from you today. Can you give us a couple key takeaways from your presentation that we can maybe talk about real quick?
It's hard for me to sort of talk, because I think there's a lot of points, but I will say one of the things that I kind of created a theme around is really around growth mindsets. One of the most important things, I think, going into a role such as the one I went into is that you have to both figure out how to scale the business, but constantly be open to new things. Because having that growth mindset is not accepting the status quo, but saying, okay, this is how it might have worked, you know, in your last company. What can I take from there to apply to this new company? And then what else would I look at differently that I hadn't looked at before? And I would say that in my last role prior to Poshmark, I was there for about 7 years, and I'd seen the company through such a different trajectory from being pre and post IPO, then dealing with a number of competitors. Really what I learned as a leader, as a thinker, was around how to question my own beliefs and say, hey, I believe that this is the way we do things, but a year and a half later, new technology, new entrant, new platform, how do we want to change? And I think kind of bring that to the team in a way that allows them to kind of innovate, but also challenge the way they're doing things, but not throw everything out, because that's not what I was being asked to do, is to help evolve the team, is what I'm most excited about. And that's part of one of the topics today, is how do you sort of drive that growth mindset across different parts of the org and different functions.
That sounds super exciting. It's some really good information to be throwing at our folks, because that's exactly what they're facing every single day. They know that they're never done building. You got to take what you learn, but then be open to new things as things go, and take advantage of those opportunities, and don't be afraid to fail at them, just in case you do, as far as that goes.
So, you know, it's funny that you talk about failure, and I often think that people are so afraid to try new things, because when things are working, I often think that when we've tried new things that doesn't work, it's like, this is a great learning opportunity. You know, let's take the moment, let's figure out what went wrong, and then what are we going to do next, and how do we do it differently? Because that's where the growth comes from. It's not a moment of loss. It's a moment of sort of, I would say, just not rebirth either. It's just, reflection. To say, what could I have learned from this? Because I feel like that's both personal and organizational.
Absolutely. So we've got a couple minutes left. I'm just curious, like, what are some trends you're paying attention to right now? What do you think is pretty important out there?
Oh, my gosh, there's so many. A couple of things I keep in mind is Gen Z as a segment, as a unit, is incredibly challenging and interesting. How they communicate, how they want to buy. We want to be at that forefront. So I think our product resonates really well, especially with that audience that is growing up in a very different environment than most of us did. So one, thinking through how do we make sure that we continue to, attract them, not just through the way we market, but also the way we create the product. Two, really thinking about the impact on privacy, as how do we sort of address that as marketers who are so used to having a certain level of information and transparency into the data. Now that we have to be more mindful, how does that change the way we do test channels, monetize users, track users? It'll be interesting. I think number three is really just the emergence of even more new marketing channels, and how do we sort of embrace them, adopt them. Everyone's on TikTok. Question is always, how long is it going to be around? Is it the next Snapchat? I would say this is like every marketer's dilemma. I think it was every marketer's like, awesome challenges. Hey, that's great, new platform. How are you addressing users? It's just becoming highly fragmented. And so when you think about trying to create a social media strategy when you suddenly have seven platforms, it wasn't like 3 years ago, or maybe 4 years ago, we had like three. It's incredibly challenging.
So I'm jealous. It's got to be good to be you because those are fun challenges, yeah. But also keep you up at night too, because you're going to live and die by TikTok sometimes, which is kind of scary.
Yeah, pushing. We just recently launched our TikTok channel, and I remember I had to push the team to really think through and say, try to imagine yourselves being in high school. What would you do? And for people who, because I have a lot of employees, it's funny, when we first started, I asked them, how many of you are in TikTok? And maybe one person raised their hand, and it's like, you all aged out already, right? Exactly. Isn't that funny? And I have a lot of young employees, it's like the fact to tell them, you've already aged out, when a whole new platform has already blown up, it just shows them where they sit on the curve and how they have to constantly be thinking about what the next thing is as well.
Absolutely. Wow, what great insights. Stephen Young from Poshmark, thank you for hanging out with us today. Welcome to Pittsburgh. Glad you stopped by. Thanks for the knowledge and time. Hey, this is Jonathan Kirsting with the Pittsburgh Technology Council. Learn more about us at pghtech.org. We'll be right back.
So glad you're spending Wednesday night hanging out with us here on Tech Vibe Radio. It's a good use of your time. We like telling all the fun, cool stuff happened in Pittsburgh's tech sector. And Audrey, right around the corner is the Hardware Cup.
I know. It's so
cool. It's such a cool thing. We love it. It's that time of year, too. It always kicks off February, March, and goes to the spring. And it's just there's so much good stuff about it. And that's why we have Leah Simoncelli here from Alpha Lab Gear, which puts on the Hardware Cup. So, Leah, thanks for stopping by and hanging out with us yet again.
Thank you for having me. That the fourth time around, you nail that pronunciation of my last name.
I take pride in that, and I remember it every single time.
I know. He's so good.
The average host would say Simoncelli, trying to be all like Italian.
That's how I would say it.
And I said Simoncelli because I've been told. And so I'm just saying. So, yes. And I appreciate you calling that out.
So, talk about what's around the corner.
So, we are just about a week out from the Hardware Cup Pittsburgh Regional.
I know.
And that is one of six events that happens around the United States, where we're looking at some of the most exciting physical product companies in the entire nation.
That's what I like, man.
And we're putting them on a literal stage in front of corporate partners and investors and other hardware enthusiasts. And we are allowing our panel of investor judges to choose who is the most investable company, so that winner gets a $3,000 check, and then they go on to our international finals, where there's a $50,000 grand prize. And this year, for the first time ever,
I know, this is the big news, right?
Rather than an investment where you're giving up some equity, this year it is a cash prize. So $50,000 that goes straight to the startup, and all of our second, third, and regional place prizes are also cash prizes. So we're really excited about that. We're putting them in rooms with investors, so there's additional investment opportunity, but all of those prizes are cash.
So talk about what kinds of companies. Break it down a little bit.
Sure. So we define hardware very broadly. Hardware is anything with a physical product component. So that can mean the things you traditionally think of in hardware, robotics and autonomous vehicles. It can mean IoT, it can mean fashion, it can mean food, it can mean anything
food.
With a physical
product
component.
Food, wait, back up, component. I forgot
wait,
about this thing,
you're food?
Right.
Fashion and food,
okay. Yes, as long as there's some amount of tech, there's something protectable about your company,
your
product, then that's what the Hardware Cup is about. It's about taking those companies that are not software, not just a platform, but something that's a physical product, and highlighting them and getting them connected to everything they need.
What I've always really thought is just so clever about the Hardware Cup is that it goes to these cities. And it's even gone around the world at times. There have been times when you have left and gone to, faraway places. I'm trying to remember, is it Japan?
Israel, and Brazil,
and so you were literally going internationally as a way of then bringing these folks back to Pittsburgh for the finals. It always happens at the end of spring, very beginning of summer. And I think it's just such a great way to get people in the know of the horsepower that we have here in Pittsburgh, and which is run through Alpha Lab Gear, which is one of our favorite programs in all of Pittsburgh, because we like making stuff here, right? I mean, at the end of the day, and it's cool that we have an organization that's here to promote people from around the world coming here to build companies.
Absolutely.
Which we think is just awesome.
It's, yeah, the way we started out, we thought, you know, we'll test this just like our startups do. We'll start in a couple of cities. We'll see, you know, if we can get some excitement built around hardware. And we found out 6 years ago when we started that, you know, there was a real need for this. There was a real hunger for this to highlight specifically physical product companies.
Definitely.
Get investors of physical product companies in the same room. And once we did that, I mean, it kind of took on a life of its own. We had partners from around the U.S. and partners from around the world that said, hey, we want to bring this to our ecosystem. Can we run one in our city?
Oh, really? So they're reaching out to you. Mm-hmm. You're like licensing this out?
So we've created a toolkit.
Ooh, nice. Okay,
and,
cool.
You know, there's no cost to it. The point of the hardware.
Oh, charging money for it. Come on, man.
it's that, you know, we're building community.
Right,
in
of course.
All of these locations.
I'd still charge them $50.
They've got to put on the competition, and they've got to send their winner to Pittsburgh.
So that's a good time.
No need to charge then. Okay, I take that back.
But then we take care of them once they get to Pittsburgh.
Wow,
so
very cool.
You know, we pay for the hotel and the competition itself, all the prizes, all of that stuff is through our sponsors.
Very cool.
So SolidWorks and Bosch and Aero and ADI. Our main sponsors that have been supporting us for years and years and literally make this happen.
Yeah, in case you just tuned in, we're talking to Leah Simoncelli from Alpha Lab Gear and the Hardware Cup. And
you mentioned something about fashion and food.
Yes.
Can you talk about some of the trends that you've seen? Are they social impact? Are they reuse? Are they...
Certainly. So you see a lot in smart clothing.
Yes. Cool.
And that's something that, you know, I don't know that we've totally figured out really all of the things that we can do with smart clothing. So
where can you put a sensor on a piece of clothing to tell you something about something you should be doing or not doing or something like that, right?
Right. Whether it's, you know, temperature control. We've seen it in the disability market as well.
Absolutely.
So just using different designs and... You know, snaps are hard to do in some cases. We've had just a really, really broad array of competitors
Definitely.
That have a product like that. That's really, it's hard to put them up against something that's robotics. It's even harder to put them up against something that's healthcare IT, right? Because you're just looking at really different verticals and really different types of
levels of complexity, right?
And,
yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Team that you need to build them. So that's something that we really pride ourselves on in the Hardware Cup is that anybody that comes to a competition, anybody that applies should get something out of it. You're
Definitely.
Going to need someone in the audience during our networking portion.
See, that's a great point that I think you bring up because when you go to these things, like it's kind of, I don't want to say it's a party, but it's almost like a party atmosphere to a certain degree because like, even I see people like if they didn't win, they're like all dejected. Like, no, you came here tonight and you should be talking to people and building your network. This is just an opportunity for you to, if you do move on or get selected, that's great. But being part of it is such a good thing because you are bringing some of the best and brightest minds together now from, you know, across the country. It's a great way to start meeting new folks and getting more ideas.
And especially when we do it in Pittsburgh, we've got hundreds of people that will come out for these events. And
so what's
titles.
The location for this year's events?
So here. For the Pittsburgh Regional, that will be at CMU Schwartz Center.
Okay, good place.
On February 27th at 6 p.m.
Alrighty.
As always, free to attend.
Yeah.
You know, food, drinks, networking. I'll have a link at
hardwarecup.com. It's a good night just to go and participate. Better yet, just spectate and just meet people and hang out and just be inspired.
Absolutely. And then once we finish all of our travels around the United States, we give all of our international partners a chance to run their competitions throughout February, March, and April.
Gotcha.
Then we'll bring everybody back to Pittsburgh.
Then I'll come back to Pittsburgh.
For the international finals that'll be on May 19th. So
oh my
mark
goodness.
Your calendars.
You know what? May 19th's going to be here before we know it.
Who, baby?
And I'm looking forward to it. I think you're looking forward to it, too.
I am indeed. Now, it's one of my favorite nights of the year. So,
Very cool.
You've helped put Pittsburgh on the map.
Yeah.
Thank you for your work.
Definitely.
Thank
Like all the way around. This is the, these are the types of things that are setting Pittsburgh apart and making us a destination, right? Because that's what Audrey and I keep saying. Pittsburgh has to be a destination. Right. And if we don't have things like this happening, it's not going to happen.
And you would be surprised when we travel to these other cities and we say, okay, your prize, $3,000 cash and a spot in the international finals in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, and then what do people say? Okay.
What do they say?
And more often than not,
they know it.
We're hearing people say, oh, I just had, you know, my neighbor was just there. My boss was just there.
Oh, really? That's great.
Well, that's good to know.
People are actually excited to check out the city of Pittsburgh, which they should be.
Yeah.
But I would say even, you know, my very first Hardware Cup 4 years ago.
So this is the fourth.
It's changed.
It's changed, hasn't it? The response has changed.
The response has changed to what it means to, you know, to get a trip to Pittsburgh. You only hear a
wah wah after you say it. You hear a cool or okay.
That's so great. Cool. Have any of those companies that have come here or those startups come here decide to put up a shingle?
So we have had companies that participated in the Hardware Cup then learn about some of the other programs we have going on in Pittsburgh. So things like Alpha Lab Gear.
I was going to say, how many people came to become gear companies at that point, right?
And we've had companies that we would not have met otherwise.
That's what it's about, man.
We put our feet on the ground and we get to check out all these companies and build that opportunity in front of them. And then they find that it's a really great fit. We've had even a company from Japan that participated in the Hardware Cup came to our manufacturing programming in
That's
Pittsburgh,
what I'm talking
and
about.
They just raised $4 million.
What? Who was this company?
Hachitama.
Okay.
They have the cat toilet.
Oh, I heard about that.
Oh, my God. That's so awesome.
They use the toilet to detect any issues like kidney disease that cats might have.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. They raised $4 million there.
I forgot about them.
That's what I'm talking about.
They were like a bestseller on Amazon for Prime Day in Japan. So it's very cool to see. We get to follow the trajectory of all of these companies.
That's great.
Oh, man.
And, you know, where we can help them out and help them build strong businesses, we're happy to do it.
Definitely. Tell everyone to go to alphalabgear.org. All the details for the Hardware Cup are hanging out right there. And go attend on the 27th and on the 19th for the Super Finals. Are the finals at the Schwartz Center as well, too? Or even bigger event?
TBD, but it'll be a larger venue.
It'll be a bigger venue because you got lots going on there. Oh, Leah, thank you so much for stopping by and giving us all the details on this. Great stuff, man.
Thanks for having us.
Very, very cool. Oh, it gets me so fired up.
So great.
Yeah, I didn't realize that company's doing that. That's so awesome. Cat toilets that can detect kidney disease, and that's a problem, and it's being solved.
Thank you,
Hardware Cup.
Thank you.
Great stuff. Oh, another tech vibe under the belt. Great. Too much fun having these stories to tell, Audrey. I love it. Don't worry, everybody. Next Wednesday night, we're back here. Hey, if you have a Jones in for some tech vibe, and it's not Wednesday night, you don't have to worry at all. Just go onto your favorite podcast platform, whether it's iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Deezer, for crying out loud. You can find a treasure trove of tech vibe podcasts. Oh my God, there's so many of them because we do so much content. So many great interviews like Leah over here. So go check that out in case you're bored and lonely and want to learn more about Pittsburgh's tech sector. We're there to entertain you. Until the next time, this is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
Learn more about the Tech Council at pghtech.org.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.